You know, me and Diane Manis on the Southern Baptist Religion.
Are y'all listening?
Okay. Where did your ancestors come from?
Well, my father's side of family, they were mostly from Ireland and England. And my mother's side of the family, I'm not really sure where they came from, but they were, there was a lot of Cherokee Indians in their family. Mm-hmm.
Where were they born?
My father was born in Barnesville, Georgia, and my mother was born in Atlanta, Georgia.
When did they get married?
In 1953, July 11th, 1953.
What religion were they?
My mother was Methodist, and my father's family was always Baptist.
What kind of church that
The Methodist Church. Maybe the Methodist Church.
Oh. What economic class were you?
They were in the middle class. Regular working people.
Did your mother change religions after marriage?
Not right after marriage. She didn't. They probably, they kept going to Methodist Church for a while. When I was really little, I was christened in the Methodist Church. I don't think they really started going to the Baptist Church until I was about 4 or 5 years old.
Did this change have any great effect on your family?
No, none whatsoever.
When were you baptized?
I was baptized when I was 8 years old. And of course, the Baptist Church, after I, you know, accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior.
Do you remember any events in this early time having to do with your church that affected you, especially like in school, like people coming to your school and, you know, didn't used to pray before school and people like come and teach you anything?
No, nobody ever came at school. When we were in the 5th grade, the Gideons came, but most of my religious experiences came from going to church regularly, going with my parents. My father was a deacon in the church. I was ordained a deacon. I remember that happening when I was a child. And, you know, most all of that came from home. Nothing really from the school or anything like that. And, you know, really, you know, we believe more than the Baptists. We believe in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So it's more of a personal relationship that way, studying the Bible, going to Sunday school, you know, things like that.
In school, do they ever teach you about evolution?
Yes.
How did you feel about that issue?
I didn't like it because it's an unproven theory. To begin with, I don't believe it anyhow, but I really am opposed to them teaching it because they have proved that that is not the truth. And I really resented the fact that they never did offer creation as an alternative. And even when I was in high school, that's when they really taught evolution, and like I said, it was already unproven theory. The textbooks were already printed. They still taught it. I thought it was stupid. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you today.
During your childhood and teenage life, in the late '50s, mostly the late '60s, was your teenage life. America was challenged by some radical issues. Southerners especially found '70s very difficult to deal with. Do you remember any of the life under the old Southern society of segregation, any aspects of it?
I remember a little bit. You mean like the racial things, the black and white? When I was really little, I remember my grandmother used to take me downtown Atlanta. We rode the trolley down there. We rode the bus down there. And I actually do remember restrooms that were colored and white. But that's real vague, and I was real small. Barely remember that. Really barely remember. Because I was really... My mother worked later on, and I was really kept by a black woman. She stayed at our house, and she came every day and kept us and rode the bus line.
Did the church ever, was it ever segregated where blacks could not come in or anything?
Not the churches I attended. That's not really the way we believe. We don't believe that God segregates us or thinks of us any different for our color. But some things are very hard to. I wouldn't go as far to say some of the older people, I mean, that were raised a different way, didn't maybe have those feelings, but I really never saw that happen or experienced it happen. And I've heard some derogatory statements that way, you know.
Do you remember anything about the Martin Luther King Jr. and his assassination?
Yes, I do.
What do you remember?
Oh, remember it made the news big time. I mostly remember, I know this is probably getting off the subject, but I mostly remember JFK. Because they sent us home from school and we didn't really understand what in the world was going on. And I remember we watched it on TV all the time because it was the only thing on TV. You know, it was really sad to see those little kids. Carolyn wasn't much younger than me, and it was really sad because I was thinking, one if that was my father. You know, seeing old John salute him. And, but I got a little bored of it, too, because there wasn't nothing else on TV. But after JFK was shot, it just seemed like, you know, his brother was shot soon after that. Martin Luther King was shot. It just seemed to be one thing after another. And it was one time I begged my father, mostly because I wanted to get out of school. I think I was in the fourth grade, to take me down to see the president come to Atlanta. LBJ was the president at the time. And we watched him come. And of course, when he came down in this motorcade, you know, he was in his car, all bulletproof and everything. It wasn't anything like John F. Kennedy. But yeah, all that had a big effect. It just seemed to me when I was growing up, you know, I guess because I never had anything to measure by and it was happening in my lifetime, it was just like everything was happening at one time. You know, everything was going crazy. The Vietnam War was going crazy. People were rioting. They had religious people going crazy. They had people they called the Jesus freaks. It was a very turbulent, changing time in our society. It was just hard to think about it sometimes, as much change that went on in those few years.
Did the church react in any way to any of those events?
Not really. I mean, the church actually became a little more laid back, not stiff. There was a lot of things that went on through the Holy Spirit, and some of these people that were the Jesus freaks were really, they just got into it and were doing it because everybody else was doing it. They really didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So the church became a little bit laid back instead of being stuffy. You know, we sang and we clapped in church. We didn't do that too much before. The whole church would get in a big circle. We all joined hands and prayed together. We didn't do that. So it really loosened things up a lot. And we became more tolerant of people's clothes. That's when it really changed. When I was a little girl, well, it depends on what preacher you were under. The first preacher, when I was really little, about 4 or 5, he would have a stroke if anybody wore shorts. And then women were not allowed to wear pants. But then about in the late 60s, I mean, our preacher's wife was the first woman I know to wear pants to church. Wanda York. But so, I mean, dress became not as that. You know, we wore jeans and, you know, we became a little bit more relaxed.
This time in the late 50s, early 60s, and rock and roll was becoming popular. Do you remember how your church reacted when you were too young to remember?
The 50s and the 60s, I remember my parents, that was really more their era, the 50s and the 60s, especially the 50s. Elvis Presley was really big. I remember coming home from church one day and my mother was screaming and shouting, "Ray, you gotta see this, you gotta see this." And it was the first time that Elvis Presley had been on. No, that was the Beatles. The Beatles had been on there. I don't remember Elvis Presley being on there, but the Beatles were on there. It was really wild. It was beginning to take a change and everything, but, you know, it was different. It was really different.
I guess your parents, they felt excited, I guess, for their rock and roll bit of it.
See, my parents were pretty much 50s people. They loved Elvis Presley. They loved rock and roll.
Okay, so your parents were very into rock and roll, would you say?
Yeah, pretty much. My mother was kind of reserved, but they liked the music a lot. They liked Elvis Presley a lot. I was more into the Beatles, the Monkees, later on, Stephanie Wolf and stuff like that.
Iron Butterfly.
Iron Butterfly. Anna Gata DeVita, yeah.
In the 1960s, the United States involvement in Vietnam increased greatly. Did you or any of your family know anyone who served there?
Yes. It was a real concern when I was in school because, you know, the lottery was going on for the people to be sent over to Vietnam. There was a lot of controversy. A lot of people didn't want to go because they didn't personally believe in the cause. And I didn't personally believe in the cause either while we were over there. So there was a lot of like the Kent State thing happened with all that going on, and they shot into the crowd, killing a bunch of students and things like that. But Stephanie's father was a conscientious observer. He wouldn't have gone to Vietnam if they had made him gone. But his number never came up. They did the lottery thing, so he was lucky at the time. But there was people that went over there and it changed their life forever. Some were never right again. It was pretty hard on them.
Do you remember if it was ever discussed at church, or did any of the religious figures in the U.S. ever take a stand about it and preach about it?
Nobody ever discussed the Vietnam War, like from the pulpit or anything like that. We never discussed that because it was really a conflict. Everybody before this time had been very, very pro-country. And this was the first time our country really did something that I knew of that was totally the people were against. So then you had the old-timers that served in World War I, World War II, that's going, how can these people, they think of them as deserters? But it really was a war that no one could win. I don't even know if it was actually ever declared a war. And we weren't in there to do, it was the biggest mess. And they proved that now in history, and it was just a lot of political things. A lot of people were sent to do this.
Many protests occurred over this war. However, they mostly occurred on college campuses and large cities, not in the South. Do you remember hearing about any here in the South?
I think that Atlanta was an exception to that. We had a lot of protesting going on in Atlanta. We had a big hippie movement down here, most of that had to do with the war, anti-establishment. We had one of the biggest hippie places here in Atlanta, probably after San Francisco. I mean, so we had a lot of protesting here. But a lot of it was done, you know, on college campuses. A lot of these people didn't go to college. They were kind of in between. They had been to college, dropped out, you know.
The hippie grunge movement also was occurring at this time. It seemed as though most of these cultures centered around the West Coast, the North, and the East, especially on college campuses. Do you think that the reason is because the Southern culture is so conservative and religious?
I totally disagree with that, because if you knew anything about what was happening in Atlanta, we had a newspaper called The Great Speckled Bird. They took 14th Street over. My father had a business close to that. We used to go down. I wasn't supposed to go down there, but we used to ride through there and just stare at the hippies. I did that with my family. I did that with my friends later. We went to the varsity. It was a big, it's just in the recent years even beginning to look good up there. It's one of the biggest places for the hippie movement around.
Was anything ever mentioned about them at church?
About the hippies? Yeah. Like, what would you say? Something mentioned like you don't want them here or something like that? You might hear that a little bit. Mostly, no. People were pretty receptive. They tried really hard to include people that even didn't look right. I mean, I remember going to church, this guy, his name is Robert Devers, and he was at Mount Harmony, and his hair was down halfway his back, and he was a Christian, and they didn't ever give him any kind of following, so, they were pretty easy on him, really. I mean, but when you say that, some of the older people, not the preachers and things, but some of the older people that maybe were opposed to it, I'm not saying everybody liked it 100%, but I think the church was pretty tolerant of the behavior.